Boat Düsseldorf and European Boating Industry present the BID 360 Special.
Welcome to the podcast of Boat Düsseldorf. My guests today are Paul Blanc, Vice President Boat Clubs and Brand Director Jeannot at Groupe Beneteau, and Karl-Heinz Jungbeck, Tourism President of ADAC, the German Mobility Association, probably the biggest in Europe, if I get it right. And we talk about sustainability in water sports tourism today, which is a big topic. Paul, a boat spends most of its time, of its lifetime, on the mooring, on the jetty, on the pier. What's more important for becoming more sustainable in boating? Focusing on the boat or focusing on the marina and the environment of the marina?
I think it's both, of course. It's the boat and the service and the way you use it. We often say as a boat manufacturer that the impact of the boat is in the production, it's in the usage, and it's at the end of the life of the boat. So everything has a role to play, but we see that the marina, of course, if a boat doesn't get used, it's still... It's a pity. We want the boats to be enjoyed and go out. So I think the service that the marina can bring and how we use the infrastructure is equally important as the boat itself.
Mr. Jungbeck, ADAC is one of the biggest associations in Germany with more members than any other club probably. How do you register the development of demand in the target group of travelers for sustainable travel, especially in the boating sector?
I don't think we can separate the boating sector from the car sector. I think it's very similar. The question of 50 hours per year you spend on the boat or you spend outside the marina, you can compare it with the supercar business, where the supercar's owners, they drive, for example, 500 kilometers per year. If you count the emissions on a percentage base, it looks great. But if you count the emissions on the base of absolute numbers, it's tending to be zero. So this is a base for a discussion, for a more realistic discussion. And concerning the clients, I think everybody wants to be sustainable and everybody wants to use sustainable products. But when it's coming to purchase them, when it's coming to the price, they think twice.
Yeah.
So I think we really have to enable all businesses to be sustainable, but at the same time to be affordable. And if we match both lines, then it will be a success.
Paul, you're selling boats and taking care of people spending time on their boats. Do you see a change in demand towards more sustainable offers?
There is a demand, definitely. We have some clients that come to us with requests about how we make boating more sustainable. And I would agree that we have to be very pragmatic, because sometimes we can fall in the trap to think that something is more sustainable when it's not. Indeed, a boat is not used a lot. So its actual footprint on the consumption itself of the engine is actually minimal compared to the rest. We'd better put our priorities on some other topics, like the construction method or the deconstruction at the end of the life.
Yeah.
Than the propulsion itself. But we have to bring all these answers ourselves as boat builders. Of course, it's our role to guide the boat buyers into what is important, what is the priority. Definitely, we see a concern because we have clients who are successful, they're fortunate enough to afford a boat, and they want to spend their money responsibly. So they want to know what they can do to make their purchase more responsible. And I was also mentioning this morning during the conference that what is very interesting is that when you buy a boat, you buy it for the family, not for yourself. And the kids today put a lot of pressure on the parents to consider these factors when they buy the boat. Then, of course, there is the financial consideration, and it can only work if it's a reasonable extra cost. Today, some solutions are just not reasonable financially, and of course, clients will make compromises.
And if you look at the whole package of a vacation on board, it's getting on board, staying on board, dealing with disposals of on board,
yeah.
And yes, indeed, getting to the boat and getting from the boat back home. ADAC is covering all topics which we just discussed. So sustainable vacation on the water begins if you leave your home. And how far do you see consequences, the willing of people who want to spend time on the water to really have a unbroken line of sustainable activities from the door at home to the boat to the vacation through 2 or 3 weeks and getting back home?
There's one truth. The moment you are leaving your house, you're increasing your ecological footprint. That's it. We can also only try to minimize this ecological footprint. And we can only do everything to minimize it. And this is where ADAC is starting. We're seeing its role in sustainability. So we offer maps, electronic maps, driving systems, and advising people how to drive carefully, not use too much fuel and not to increase their ecological footsteps. Then we are advising them best routes to take. And of course, we try to convince them in the booking process that they use boats which are already sustainable. But then we are coming to the point where maybe 1 euro is counting more than the other euro. And that's the end of our advice that we can give.
Let's take it as it is. If German customers go boating in the Mediterranean, they travel by plane. Except maybe for the people coming from Bavaria, they drive to Croatia. But I think most of them, especially if you go to an island, to Greece, to Mallorca and other Balearic islands, what would be the right way to get that more sustainable? What do you think? Do we need more regulation? Do we need more focus on vacation that is closer to your home?
I think regulations, we do have enough.
Yeah.
I think that's clear.
I would definitely agree with you.
Yeah. Regulations, we have enough. We have to convince people, but we should not teach them. We Germans like to teach people. And I think this we should not do. We should tell them what's happening and we should tell them the truth. And sometimes if you have a bad car, let's say like that, you're really increasing your footprint. Maybe more than if you are taking a plane. And you also have to see the time you need. We have to find a balance. I think it's all about balance. We cannot avoid emissions. This is not impossible. We can just minimize emissions. And we shall work on that. And we shall work on a balance between the interests of the people and they need leisure time. But they can work afterwards a bit harder. But there we have to find the balance.
Paul, if you think about vacation on a boat, we have to think about vacation in a marina or a resort with the ability to park a boat, to moor a boat. How far has the marina industry come already in the process of getting more sustainable?
Most of the marinas are embracing the change because in any case, they will have to. So in terms of the waste management, very soon we won't be able to dispose dirty waters in the open sea. We'll have to bring our dirty water with us, store it in a tank on board the boat and discharge it in the marina. All these regulations are coming, even if they are not global, they will be local, even on certain marine protected areas. So the infrastructure needs to be built to cope with these constraints. And I think the marinas are starting to do so. We have to adapt the products as well to comply with these restrictions. I think for me, the two things is how you adapt the marina to the usage of the boat, and it can be waste management, it can be energy management as well. More and more will switch with the lithium batteries to systems where you can load your lithium batteries in the marina and run your air conditioning if you have one, or your electronics on the boat from the lithium batteries, rather than having a diesel generator on board. So these things are changing. So for that, we need more power in the marina, and that power can be also green power if possible. So these are the things that can change. I think, again, the shared economy is another part of sustainability, because if one asset, one boat is in the marina, we need to maximize the use of that asset and try to share this boat between several owners. Might not work for all type of boats, but for the small entry-level boats, I think that's something that will develop. Because that's one thing that differentiates the car industry to the boat industry is the infrastructure. Car, you can always park your car at your house, but a boat, we're limited by the number of berths that we have available. And so the more we can share the boats, the more people will enjoy from the access to the water that is currently provided. And I think that's something the marinas need to work more on, is to embrace the change to the sharing economy, because that will be necessary in a way, especially with the inflation that we have now.
Yeah. This shift you see also in the car industry. It's not only about, nowadays, it's not only about owning a car. It's about renting a car, and not only from car rent companies, but also from the producers, where they try to establish sharing systems. And I think, in, especially in the new generation, my daughter, for example, she says to me, I don't need an own car, I do car sharing. But the sharing potential is really big on the boat side as well as on the car side. It will disrupt the systems, the marina systems as well as the car producer systems. But we have to cope with it.
And you just mentioned the generation question, which I think is very important if you talk about sharing economy with regards to boats. I think we have seen a couple of models and business models coming and going, trying to establish a shared economy, boat usage, especially in Germany. Do you think it's going to be more accepted with the change of generation?
I think there will always be products you want to own. You won't share your ring. You maybe won't share your watch. There are some cars you won't share. Yeah. And there are some boats you won't share. Yeah. If it's just about commuting, you can always share.
Yeah.
But is it, if it's a question of lifestyle, you won't share. Mm-hmm. You won't share. And I think there we also have to find the balance. It depends on the product.
Yes. I think definitely for boats, it applies to entry-level boating. Mm-hmm. 6-7 meter boats. Simple, the ones that you would rent actually sometimes on an occasional basis. So what we can build is a system of subscription membership where we make the user experience easier, because he can have the benefits of an owner, not having to go through the hassle of all the paperwork that you have to go through when you rent a boat. But for sure, the new generations also don't focus on one single leisure. They want to travel, they want to go skiing, they want to visit friends in another city. Sometimes they want to go boating, but it's only part of the things they do. And that's a major difference to the previous generations, who would develop a passion for boating and do only that.
You just focus, yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense for them to have the possibility to regularly go boating, but without the commitment of being an owner. And so I think there is sustainability there. There is the user experience. There is the level of commitment you have in for the boating leisure. And so on these small boats, I think there will be definitely some potential for shared economy. There's been a lot of initiatives. Everybody is trying to test the right business model, the level of price, how it works. But with a good technology, good application, and a good user experience, I'm sure that within the next 5 years, it's going to be significant.
Paul just mentioned a couple of answers before. A very easy, a very simple aspects of becoming boating more sustainable, the black water disposal. We live close to the Netherlands borders, and black water disposal into the sea in the Netherlands is forbidden, has been forbidden for years now. And still we are waiting for systems in order to empty your tanks in the Netherlands. There's big marinas with like 700-900 berths. They have one pump station. And we are beyond, far away from talking about charging capabilities for boats or cars. We're talking about one of the simplest issues on board. You have to bring your black water back to the marina, and you cannot dispose it off. To be honest, nobody does it actually today. How do you see this, and how do your members, your club members, deal with that situation, and what do you expect to happen in the market?
Our members, of course, they are complaining. Because they want to, at least the Germans always, want to fulfill all regulations.
Obey the rules,
obey the rules. So they are complaining. But I think this is the same tendency what we see in other businesses. The political targets are quite strict, but they can't be fulfilled because the infrastructure isn't existing. Yeah. So I think we have to make one step, we always one step ahead, of the other. So we have to come back to a normal timeline where you establish an infrastructure, and then you can make the rules.
Yeah.
But then you have to see that the infrastructure is existing. And then you can fine if you do not keep the rules.
Paul, Groupe Beneteau is doing a lot and is showing on this boat show a lot of initiatives with regards to sustainability. Reusable resins for the boat building, replacing the old epoxy glass combination. You present electric boats with charging stations and like the entire chain of producing a boat, using a boat to disposing a boat. And we talk about vacation and travel. So where do you put your focus? And maybe just give us a short idea of what you do in general and specifically through the process and where you really put your emphasis on and how you decide what thing to focus on.
The first step for us was to analyze the life cycle impact. And every industry today has to do this work of the life cycle analysis, mm-hmm. assessment. And doing that, we realized that it's equally important to work on the purchasing strategy, who we buy our material from, mm-hmm. The production process, of course, the usage, how we can improve the usage of the boat, mm-hmm. and the end of life. Mm-hmm. On the end of life, we are terrible. We have to say the boat, plastic boat, is something that is very hard to deconstruct and recycle. So in France, we have now the first example of a full system to deconstruct boats. Mm-hmm. It's funded by the government and the boat manufacturers. It's an eco tax, and it starts to work. We manage now to deconstruct 3,000 boats per year through approved recycling centers, but there's no value in the material we get from the composite material. So that's why we are also integrating recyclable thermoplastic resin so that in the future we can actually get the resin back and separate from glass fibers and recyclables. So we're working on that. We've been working for a long time on the production to reduce our emissions of volatile components. And today, by having enclosed molding processes, we are able to capture all our emissions. So now the biggest challenge is the usage indeed. And it's the propulsion. Mm-hmm. And again, I think we have to be very pragmatic because in some applications, electric propulsion is not possible or it's not particularly virtuous. Mm-hmm. So there are different solutions for different type of boats and different type of usage. And we have been using, for instance, 100% electric propulsion on riverboats because it's easy today on riverboats to do it. But again, we have to develop the infrastructure with the charging stations. So that's one of the challenges. It's not only sustainability, it's also a beauty to be cruising canals with absolutely no noise. And so that's part of the pleasure of boating as well. Well, on the sailboats, obviously, we have a sail. It's already a hybrid boat. So we promote this and we fit some electric engine in some of them. And bigger boats, we have not all the solutions today, but we're moving towards hybrid systems like we have in the car, where you can at least switch to electric mode when you go slow speed approaching a marina or a bay. So we're really working into every step, these four steps of the life cycle, to reduce the impact and make it one step at a time, make it better.
May I ask a question? You do not have to broadcast it, but I'm just curious. How much in the purchase or in the sales process, how much time do you spend on fabrics and colors, and how much time do you spend on sustainability?
It depends on the clients. You know, we are here to build a project with a client, and some of them come with those requests and they are very sensitive to that and they would spend a lot of time talking about this. And indeed, some people have absolutely no interest for it. And we'll probably spend more time speaking about the color of the fabrics, indeed, or the performance of the sails and everything. I think if you look at today, it's still minimal, but we can see definitely this growing.
Great. Okay.
Then I was mentioning earlier that, you know, I will tell you exact examples that I have lived again these few days at the show. You have people who sell their fintech company at 35 years old. And they, from one day to another, end up with millions, and they are retired at 35. They're very fortunate, and they come to us, and these people are extremely careful about the way they're going to now invest this money into a nice retirement program. And so they will not buy a boat like that without making sure that they've looked at the different solutions to make their impact as low as possible. And that's why in the super yacht industry, that green component is even more important today, because the billionaires want to have, maybe it's only for image, maybe it's really because they believe in it, but they, for them, it's very important. And so the super yacht shipyards are actually now, even more than us, trying to find solutions like that. And again, I was saying, sometimes the parents buy the boats, but the children will question them about, have you made sure you've been looking at all the solutions around, and why did you choose that brand or that boat? And they will put pressure on them to, I mean, I'm sure it's the same in the car industry. Why do you buy an electric car today? Maybe it's not for yourself. It's because you want to please your children, who put pressure on you for that.
But I'm very acid now. These guys spend so much energy in mining the bitcoins that they now have to save them buying a sustainable boat.
It's maybe in order to pimp their karma a little bit.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But what does ADAC, ADAC do in order to consult and support their members or people booking journeys and booking vacation at ADAC? What do they do in order to assist them to become more sustainable and find the right sustainable solutions?
We advise all our members or clients at the travel agencies. We are running to book sustainable holidays. We do tests with cars, not so much with boat engines, but at least with cars, how much energy they use, how you can drive, that you use less energy. So we are really trying to give practical hints to ameliorate the situation of the clients or the members.
If you walk around Boat Düsseldorf in these 9 days, no matter which hall you are in, no matter what stand you are visiting, sustainability seems to be everywhere. Yeah. And the Beneteau stand, we see the prototypes of the 44E, first 44E, for instance. We see award winners building boats out of volcanic fiber. We see charging stations at Delphia, etc., etc. Are we doing enough yet in the industry, Paul?
I think we're doing much more than we have to. And we've always said that, is that we do it not because we have to, but because we want to. And I think a lot of our competitors here are in the same process. They know that the clients will be more and more sensitive to it. So that's that we have to, because the market will ask for it. But I think we are ahead of that and we're pushing. Because also we work in an industry, because ourselves, we love boating and we are nature lovers. And I think it's important to address that. And we are in an industry for people who are fortunate. We are talking about a small proportion of people. And so, of course, we even have a duty to be more responsible because we are in that fortunate category. It will be one step at a time, I think. Anyway, we're not going to change overnight, but we have to push for it as much as we can.
What do you think, Mr. Jungbeck? Are we doing enough?
I think we talk enough about it. I'm not sure if we do enough, but I'm very optimistic that for the moment we do the best. Everybody is doing the best he can. And I think that's a good effort and a good progress.
It's a good closing word. Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time in the middle of the boat show. Thanks for saving time and not spending on the stand selling boats, but talking about sustainability and what we can do in the future with the boating industry. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Boat Düsseldorf and European Boating Industry present the BID 360 Special.